Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome in to Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch, just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Hello. Check this out.
Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
Kingdom Players Only. We are back another Thursday amidst all this COVID craziness. They still let us in the building. One of these days, we're going to lock the door and stay on for 2 hours because we always got so much content that I feel rushed, like we got to squeeze it in.
Yep.
So anyway, it's Players Only. We got Joe Mays, 8-year NFL vet, played for the Chiefs and multiple other teams. And I am Danan Hughes. Players Only, 3rd year in existence, and we are here for all and any new listeners. Players Only is a roundtable format that Joe and I had kicked off a few years ago, and basically trying to present to the fans, to the listeners, a little insight from a player's perspective.
Yeah.
It's only he and I tonight. Normally we have Sean Barber, another former Chief linebacker, but we had to push him out today because, like, I didn't have enough Pepto-Bismol to take to have two defensive guys in here today. So we kind of had security escort him away.
Wow. Do y'all hit – and this is an offensive guy talking like this, by the way. So
could
you know,
Joe, could you imagine the trash talk that I did on the field based on what I'm doing on this mic every week?
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure you made it to where guys really they forgot their job. They forgot what they're supposed to do on that play, and they just came after you. Because I know I would be that way.
Boom. And that was exactly my goal.
Yeah.
Get you thinking about me so you forget about what you're supposed to do.
And you're playing with one less person. You play with 10 instead of 11.
Accomplished.
Yep.
Mission accomplished.
That's the game within the game, man.
Yes. So, yes, we appreciate everybody listening in. Again, Players Only. We are on each and every week, Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. I should correct that. Holidays are coming up,
yep.
So we may be on different evenings, but we will be having our show that will be on radio.com, the app. So if you don't hear us at this time on any specific week because of the holidays, the bye week, next week, you can still catch our show on radio.com. Believe it. All right. The text line is open. The phone line is open. 913-576-7610. It's just Joe and me in the house, and we are Players Only. This is the first quarter of the show. The first quarter is brought to you by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Mm-hmm. Make sure we had a lot of activity last week from the text line and the phone line, and we definitely welcome it because I don't know how much we're going to talk about this Jets game. I mean, this past Jets game, normally for those new listeners, we take the first quarter and we recap the last game. I feel like recapping the last game might be a little bit of a waste of time.
It might be harder than people may think it is. Because it's not much to talk about. They play a Jets team. This team has been dysfunctional all season long. They can't necessarily even, you know, be on one page in the locker room, let alone, you know, being able to go out on the field and play together. So it's kind of hard to even grade this game. I mean, the Chiefs came out and they did what they needed. They did what they needed to do. They did what we expected them to do. And, you know, they just came out, took care of business. And, it's not really much more than that. The Jets, they are who we thought they were, which is dysfunctional.
And we didn't let them off the hook.
And we didn't let them off the hook. And we're not supposed to. We're supposed to continue to put that foot on their throat.
You know what? I tried to create some different questions or some different angles to go with in this first quarter. And there was a couple things that came to mind. I want to hear your perspective. I know my perspective. And I think fans think that players look at those teams as scrubs. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're scrubs. We're supposed to beat them. You know, it's kind of like a number one team in a state playing against another small school.
Right.
It's like, you're supposed to beat them. You know, how much do you really focus? For me as a player, you focus up until you know you got them beat.
Yep.
And not just beat on the scoreboard, but beat in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that they are just waiting for that clock to get to zero. That might happen in the first quarter. That might happen in the fourth quarter. But there's a look. There's a feel that you get on the field that tells you they want to throw up the flag. They want to throw up the white flag. It's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah.
And I think from a fan's perspective, they may think differently. They may think that players overlooked this team like last week. Like, you're looking forward to the bye.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're better than the Panthers, you're better than the Jets, and you're just looking forward to when you got the Raiders coming up after the bye. That's not the case.
No.
You look like that team is a viable force that's trying to take something from you through the game until you see, well, like in the old war movies, the old westerns, till you see the white of their eyes.
Yep.
When you see the white of their eyes, then you recognize we got them. Game's over. Their bus is almost packed. It's ready to go. But up until that point, they are a viable force. It doesn't matter what organization or what team or what record they have.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's the best way to look at it. Because it's those games, and they call these trap games for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's those games that you always want to look past and you say, oh, well, we should beat them single, like just real easy. Mm-hmm. And that be the game that you lose, and that be the one that you really wish that you can get back. So you can't go into a game thinking that you already had this team beat. Of course, you're going to be confident. You're going to let them, you're going to say to yourself, well, I know those guys can't hold me. Now you said it. But now you have to go out there and put those words into action. So, you just never look past an opponent. I mean, it is the NFL at the end of the day. Every single last one of those guys, they work their tails off to get to this position, and they're professional.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, the players, but the coaches as well. Some coaches, they actually coach better against, you know, other coaches that's in the NFL, whether they're a really good team or whether they're a really bad team, it doesn't necessarily matter. So, I actually know Adam Gase personally. I played for him in Denver, and it's just, it's unreal to me just how everything has unfolded for him being the head coach, not only with the Jets, but with the Dolphins.
Playing for him, would you have seen this or did
No.
you think? You didn't think that he would ever get to the point of being worthy?
No, I thought he would have got to the point of being worthy because, you know what, he's an offensive guy. You know, he definitely, when it comes to him coaching the offense, they put up a ton of points, especially his time in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So you expected him to get this opportunity, but you didn't expect, you know, the dysfunction that he's had in both situations that he's been in. It seems like, you know, everyone wants to point the finger at him, but at the end of the day, it is pointed at him because he's the man in charge.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because you know what's interesting? And I always said, some people are just made to be coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a knock towards them. Some people, I mean, I know in the banking business, in the mortgage business, et cetera, there are some people that will be processors and some people that will be originators, mm-hmm. and that's what they'll be. It's not that they don't have aspirations, but they are their best in that lane.
Yeah.
And you know, we've seen it, you know, rest in peace, Gunther Cunningham. To me, I was on a team when he was the defensive coordinator. I was off the team when he was the head coach. To me, I don't think there's an argument out there that says that he wasn't built to be a defensive coordinator. That's not a knock.
No, it's
not. It's just that, guy, there's a different amount of pressure, responsibility, other things that you have to tackle when you are the head coach. The scheduling, everything that's going on the field, all those different intricacies you have to deal with instead of just focusing on how I'm going to build this defense to blow people up.
Yeah, you got to be more than the X's and O's guys, which, you know, Adam Gase, he's an X's and O's guy. That's his lane.
Yeah.
He know how to put an offense out there and just basically take control of a game. Now, when it comes to being a leader of men.
We got one of those with Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, that's not a knock. Yeah. I mean, that's just real. He is exceptionally better as a coordinator, and you can go Wade Phillips. I mean, you can go through the list.
Leslie Frazier, yeah. He's another guy. And you know, both of those guys
Todd
come from
Bowles.
Philly.
Yeah,
Todd Bowles. Yeah, he's killing it in Tampa Bay. But, you know, during his time with the Jets, he wasn't necessarily the leader that they needed at that time. Now, that's not to say that he can't grow into that.
Yeah.
But that it's just some guys are meant to be leaders of men than other guys are. Some guys are meant to play their role and be X's and O's guys. And unfortunately, that's the way it's looking for Gase.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because I know him. He's actually a really, really good dude, you know, as opposed to what people may think of him.
His eyes was bugged out.
I have no idea.
All those holistic oils and all that stuff. He was on something, yo.
Smell salts. He was on the smelling salts. I think he doubled and tripled those up and put them in the bottle, shook them up, and it just came out into something that was pretty potent.
Yeah.
It had him looking like that, but yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, he's able to actually do something with the rest of the season because as of now, it's looking like he might not last past this season.
Yeah, phone lines, text lines open, 913-576-7610. I truly get it. I mean, ultimately, going into this game, you know, I did the pregame show with Mitch Holthus before we did the broadcast, and he brought up 1994. I was on the team my second year in the league. We played against the Rams at Arrowhead. We were 3-0 with Joe Montana after we had just come off of losing in the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on a roll. And then we lost to the hapless Rams that came into Arrowhead and beat us and shut us out. I think it was either 14 or 16 to nothing. And so leading up to the game, first of all, I had to reprimand Mitch. Like, man, how you gonna get me in that zone right before broadcast? Come on, man, you can't be throwing those darts at me. But he was part of the broadcast, so we had a good time with it. But I do remember that feeling of, dang, like we really ain't scoring against this team.
Mm-hmm.
So leading into this game, that was a concern of mine because it was brought to my attention literally right before kickoff. So I was glad when you look at the final score, 35-9, the game really wasn't in any kind of jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have a team, just generally speaking, anytime you have a team that comes into Arrowhead and they're settling for field goals, more times than not, they're going to lose, especially against this offense. So the fact that even as proficient, if you want to consider it that, as that offense, the Jets was in the first quarter, moving down the field, they got in a field goal position. The defense got firm, and they had to kick field goals.
Yep.
So, to me, the game was won before halftime just because of that. Because if you can't go the distance in the beginning, chances are you probably are not going to go the distance in the end.
Yeah.
Because Steve Spagnuolo and his defense, they do an outstanding job of adjustments at halftime. And I pointed out, as a color analyst in the broadcast, specific points of the game where it drastically changed from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they were running Braxton Berrios as a slot receiver. And on third and short and third and medium, he was catching those little option routes and moving the chains. The first drive of the second half, Steve Spagnuolo going to halftime, make adjustment. Charvarius Ward pulls off of the outside receiver, bangs Berrios, creates fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
They go five times in the second half of three and outs. That's adjustments, that's coaching at halftime, and that's what shows you that these coaches understand their players.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wouldn't say they play they play kind of coy in the beginning,
yeah,
but you can kind of tell that there's opportunities for adjustments, for tightening the screws between first half and second half, that this team seems to do better than any.
Yeah, and I think you know this better than anyone. when it comes to being on offense, you don't go into the game with, you know, 1,000 bullets in the chamber. You go into the game with a certain amount of plays, and you can run those out of different formations.
Yep.
Now, you know, if you do that more than enough times, teams, they tend to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, if you play, especially when you're playing against the Patriots, it's not a halftime thing. That's a, they get better on the sideline thing. They try to
some
figure
teams
out how
can
teams
do that.
Yeah. And we're actually getting better at that as well.
Good.
Our coaching staff is really starting to dial in on trying to get better during the game instead of waiting to halftime, because a lot of times it's too late.
And the players buy into it.
Exactly. So,
all right, we got somebody on the call-in line, Chris from Excelsior Springs. He wants to talk about Le'Veon Bell versus the Jets. Chris, what's going on?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing all right, bro.
Hey, I got a question. I got the water cooler talk here. I got a friend who believes that, you know, Le'Veon was going to be bad for the Chiefs and all that other stuff. But I'm telling him right out the gate that you could see the game plan with the Le'Veon was not going to beat us. They were not going to allow us to run all over him and embarrass him and for trading him or whatever, letting him go. So, I mean, I'm telling him out the gate, this man has made an impact already, even for the poorest Jets. They were not going to let him run the ball and make an embarrassment out of it. So, I mean, Patrick has 5 touchdowns all day. I mean, it's just opening it up.
Yeah, great call, Chris, and great points. That's exactly what I was talking about during the break. They had made a conscious effort to stop the run. And to give them credit, if you want to give the Jets credit, they accomplished that. At the end of the game, we rushed for 50 yards.
Yep.
You wouldn't have anticipated going into the game, especially based on the production that they had in the last few weeks, that they would run for only 50 yards against the Jets defense. But that's why if you watch the game, you would see so many intermediate passes that were thrown. That's because the linebackers were taking those extra steps up into the hole on run fakes and opening the door for Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, and Tyreek Hill to make the plays, and Mecole Hardman in the middle between the safeties and where the linebackers should be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great call, Chris. Great eye watching that unfold in the game. Well, we're done with the first quarter for players only. We are going to come back. We're getting some activity on the text line as well as hopefully getting some more calls like Chris's on the call-in line. This is players only. But when we come back, we got to talk about there's a superstar that's under the COVID protocol for the Chiefs.
Uh-oh.
Might impact this week. We'll talk about that next.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Players Only back in the building. It's the second quarter. Joe Mays is in the house, dancing over in his side of the booth.
Yep.
Getting his groove on. Julio doing a moonwalk back there.
Julio,
I need to ask, what's his dance? What's his go-to dance? What's your go-to dance?
I'm going to teach you how to Dougie.
Ah, teach him how to Dougie, yeah.
There we go.
There you go. That's smooth. He's smooth with it. He came with it right off the cuff.
Uh-huh. There we go.
And we are here back, Players Only, Joe Mays, and I am Danan Hughes, sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help. Turn it into your next pursuit. We have the phone lines and text lines open, 913-576-7610. We got 816. What's up, boys?
What's happening?
We appreciate you. What's happening? We got 913. How important is the player-GM relationship? Not really important.
Not really important.
Just at all.
Contract time.
Exactly.
That's about the only time that you really need to speak to the GM.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, there's a difference between being friends and being friendly.
Right.
You want to be friendly with the GM and everybody else that can make you or take your money. But as far as, you know,
being friends?
Yeah, that don't happen.
Nah.
Not really.
Mm-mm.
816, 16-0 in the rain. I was there. Thanks, man. Thanks for bringing that back up. I appreciate it. I was trying to bury that back into the archives of my brain, but yeah, we lost that game against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Bettis, Todd Light. Yeah, there was some players on that team.
Oh,
they were still garbage, but that team shouldn't have beat us. Not those players. Those players were nice.
Now, if they was garbage, then what'd that make y'all? Oh,
on that given day,
oh my God.
we played like garbage.
Yeah.
I'll say that. On that given day. The day after and the day before, we was nice as heck.
Yeah. Y'all was the best team in the league. Then when you lose to a team that you felt like you should have.
If we'd have played that afternoon, we'd have been nice.
We'd have been all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, from the 913. Hey, fellas, question. How many adjustments can you make in an NFL halftime? Because I know it's short. So halftime is roughly about 15 minutes.
Yep.
How many adjustments? Several, depending on what the adjustments are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. So when I played with the Saints, I played with the Chiefs for six of my years, full seasons, West Coast offense, very wordy. You know, zip, red, right, slot, two jet, Y cross, Z, double, blah, blah, blah. And you've heard John Gruden say stuff, and the West Coast offense, very wordy. So there's very minor adjustments from the wide receiver position. Now, as far as protections and offensive line schemes, you can make several adjustments. Hey, you know, we're playing against Green or you know, Charles Haley or these guys during that time. Let's roll our blocking scheme towards them, whatever side of the line of scrimmage they're on.
Yep.
Those are the type of things. Those are the adjustments. But then I went to the Saints before I retired, and it was a number system. So the receivers, all the odd numbers were outcutting. All the even numbers were in-cutting routes. So you would go, you know, red right slot, 358. So then you knew the outside receiver had a three route, the inside receiver had a five route, and then the other receiver on the other side from left to right had an eight route.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go into halftime, you say, okay, the safety's playing this way, he's playing so deep, we really can't run an eight route, which is a post. Let's go ahead and change that to a six, which is an in. Or let's go ahead and change that to a crossing route so that everybody is flooding one side of the field.
Yeah.
Those are kind of the adjustments that you can make. From a defense perspective, like, what's the most defensive adjustments you've ever been a part of in the locker room?
I mean, it's mostly just, you know, about situational football. So that's like some of the most important football that you can play, knowing how a team can beat you on second and five, third and five, third and short, you know, knowing how they're trying to come at you. So, you know, we've had to sit down and actually make those adjustments during the halftime, where we're doing it collectively as a defense, and then we have to break off into our individual sections, and we have our coaching staff, you know, talking to us too. So we try to get as much information in as little time, and guys just really have to keep their mouths closed and their ears open, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're making these adjustments. The coaches, they expect you to go out there on the field and apply them.
Yeah.
And if you don't, that's where you start worrying about losing your job, getting yanked. So it started becoming more than just you going out there and playing the game. It's about you thinking about, you know, at what point are they going to pull me? Because we made adjustments and I'm not necessarily pulling them through.
I'm not getting it done.
Yeah.
That brings me to two quick points for fans out there. Here are two things that I learned when I was playing. Will, won't, can, can't. Offensive coordinator, he was the wide receiver coach at the time. Al Saunders went on. He was the offensive coordinator for the greatest show on turf with the Rams and Dick Vermeil. Came back, was the Chiefs offensive coordinator. A great offensive mind, was my wide receiver coach, and he would come in from training camp. Will, won't, can, can't. Then somebody obviously would say, what are you talking about, coach?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you won't, we'll find somebody who will. If you can't, we find somebody who can. And that's literally how the business works. So it's not just about, okay, if you can't run a 4-3, it's about if you can't make halftime adjustments.
Yep.
If you can't implement the game plan the way we want it. If you can't, in the West Coast offense, it was a 12-yard hook route. It was a 6-yard out. It was a 7-step glance, which was a kind of a skinny post.
Mm-hmm.
These were specifics. It was a 6-step out. Those were specifics. And so for a lot of times you always see on social media and you see people calling, man, why did he run a 6-yard route when it was 3rd and 8? Because the route is 6 yards.
Yep.
Period. Like, I know that's hard for people to digest, and you wonder the mindset behind a coach. Why would you call a 6-step or a six-yard out when you got 8 yards to go? Or why does a quarterback dump it to the running back in the backfield when it's 3rd and 12?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you run a draw play? It's not that they concede, but they also recognize the level of difficulty in, okay, if I drop back and put my quarterback in a position that he has to throw the ball 12 yards down the field to get a first down, and we're on the back end of our field, or we're in a position where if we have to punt, I can nail them back to near the goal line. That's the forward thinking that coaches have.
Yep.
So a lot of times, there are times in the play, in the huddle, no doubt, that we look at each other like, dang, why you call that play? We about to go out, okay, ready, break. We go break the huddle. We're thinking, why are we calling this play? You know, at best, we all running 5 yard hitches across the board, and we got 3rd and 12. You know, so they're looking for yards after catch at the same time, but they're also looking for, based on what the defense might bring and pressure, 3-step drops. Hey, the quarterback, I don't care. Quarterback's going to have to get rid of the ball. They're going to bring more people than we have to block. Even if we keep – and if we keep a tight end in or if we keep a running back in, that's two less people that are out for routes. So you got to pick your poison. Do I let all four guys run out and hope that somebody can break a tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I leave two people in to help block because I know they're blitzing 7? Do I leave two people in to help block and then run the risk of my two receivers that are out beating – the 4 defensive backs that are back there.
And on the, I was going to speak on the opposite end of that. You know, when it comes to be, playing defense against those teams where it's a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, and they run a draw, it's important to not be predictable and know and let the offense know what you're going to do, because it's those downs where, you know, it's 3rd and 12 and they run that draw and they get it. That's because they knew exactly what we were going to do. That's because we've done it so many different times throughout the game. Because they've been in those situations, they've seen what we were going to do, and they game planned against us. So, like you said before, it's always it's so many different things that goes into it. But I think the most important thing is knowing what the opposing team is going to do versus you on this down.
There's no such thing as a dumb football player. There are football players that do dumb stuff.
Yes,
there are athletes and other humans that do dumb stuff. But you cannot be a dummy and be an NFL football player with all the information and studying and film and tendencies that come into your face and change every single week.
Yep.
I still got a playbook. My last playbook was against the Raiders in 1998. It was the last playbook I had because I retired in 99. I still got it. Got it in my car. If you can picture a ream of paper that you would buy at Walmart or Staples or wherever, that's the playbook for 1 week back then. Now, everything's electronic now. It's on iPads and so on. But back then, we got a ream of paper on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the plays from every aspect, offense, special teams, short yardage, goal line, game plans, plays, special teams, etc. And then on the following Monday, we would throw it all in a shredder bin.
Yep.
And then another coach would give us another entire ream of paper for the next week and the next opponent. You cannot be dumb and absorb all that and then go and do it when somebody is trying to decapitate you on the other side of the field.
Yep.
If somebody is trying to come out on a trap block or we used to do crackback blocks on linebackers. If Joe, you sit at that linebacker position and you didn't do any of your studying and we came and earholed you, that's real. That's real. So, you know, don't buy into the myth of the whole dumb athlete thing. Athletes
dumb jock,
dumb
I never
stuff.
Got it.
Young people do dumb stuff. Young people with money do dumb stuff.
Yep.
But they no dummies can play in the NFL in any professional athletic league.
Yeah, they've always – I mean, and this dates back to, you know, everybody being in high school, being called a dumb jock. You only good for playing football, this. Well, you got to be pretty smart. Can no average Joe come out on this field and apply what they learned in the classroom and apply it to the field? Yeah. I tell you that much.
And so, know every multiple positions.
Oh, yeah.
On the field, like as a wide receiver, I didn't know the Z, the X, the E. I needed to know tandem personnels. I needed to know each position on the fly, not to think about it, but just to be called in the huddle and go. And then special teams.
Yep.
And all that is encompassed in every single game. And to do it at a level full speed. It's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to know it and be able to apply it full speed without hesitation.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is being out there on the field, there's no time to think. So you can't be thinking.
You had already thought it.
You already thought it. You already worked through it. You've already done your research. You've done your studying. You know, you've been in the classroom. You've done every single thing. You've had every single look on the practice field, you know, during the week of. there's no way you can think about it while you're out there on the field. Nope. Now, during that time, you know what's going to happen. So it's all about you being able to react. And I'm speaking from a defensive guy like this. It was no way that we can, you know, go out there and just sit there and wonder, okay, I got to and have a brain fart.
Yeah, I think I remember.
Where's my help? Or, where's this guy going to be?
It's got to be reactive.
Oh, what was the call? What are the D-line doing? How did I set it? All of those things have to be second nature, and you have to be able to run through it so quickly, because at the end of the day, if you lose 1 second, it's a second loss, and that's where the offense can get the leg up on you.
Yeah. In front of 913, what about an NFL halftime? What an NFL halftime is like? That's pretty much it. You got guys that are fine-tuning different things. It's not an overhaul of anything. You know, you don't have guys screaming and yelling like in high school. You don't have that rah-rah guy or anything like that. You have guys sitting on their stools, drinking some water.
Yeah.
You know, got a towel over their head, trying to relax, and coaches just speaking to them just like we're speaking to you. Hey.
And it was more that went into that message, too. It said, thank you for the answer. That was fantastic stuff. I coach high school here locally, and we can make about two adjustments at half. I mean, you know, when it comes to dealing with high school guys, it takes a little bit more time because it takes so much for them to process being able to not only go out there and know what they're doing, but to know what other people are doing as well.
And to know the game enough.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm very fortunate. Like, I do the broadcast for the Chiefs, and Mitch Holtis, obviously, is the magic man behind the mic, so I'm alongside him. And I get a chance to paint the color of the game, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I see the game differently. We see the game differently. It doesn't mean we see it better than the general fan. We just see it differently.
Yeah.
So a play could come across the screen. We got two TVs in here running ESPN and NFL Network. If they run a play right now, both of us can tell you, just off of the play at regular speed, we could tell you pretty much what all 22 people did on the field.
Yep. Yep.
Just like that. And why the decision was made for the quarterback to throw a swing route, or the quarterback to take the ball and run with it, or take the sack, or what have you. Mm-hmm. Why? What was happening with the offensive line? We just see it different because we've seen it so many times that it's like second nature.
Yeah. And depending on the view, you can actually tell what's going to happen beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
guys, I think Derek Johnson is on the morning show with Bob Fesco. Mm. And he's like, hey, I watch the games, and normally on any other team, I can see by 75% of the plays, I can tell they're going to happen beforehand.
Yep.
He's like, with the Chiefs, he can see it lesser because they're so creative. But for other teams, it's like 75%. And to be honest, for most NFL players, especially the ones that were real studious, probably around the same amount.
Yep.
And that's the real deal. All right, we're going to come back. We got halftime approaching us. Julio's all in my ear, yelling at me like a coach. Feel like I'm back in the locker room. But we got players only coming back after halftime. We are going to tackle the Chris Jones COVID situation and just the players' perspective around this situation and how we would react. Also, there's some draft talk about guys getting replaced after being drafted first round, first or second year.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about that, too.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Gotta rock with that one for a little bit.
I got these bars.
It.
Julio, I got these bars next week. I got some bars for you. What you got, the hiccups over there?
No. Dang. If anything, you're giving them to me.
Like, I'm from Jersey, son. We got bars. We grow up with bars.
Nah, you leave that.
We born with bars. They're from Jersey.
You leave that to the guys that can actually spit bars.
What you talking about, man?
Yeah, nah. Mm-mm. Yeah, nah. You spit skills, X's and O's.
I got
you,
skills.
X's
Don't
and
bring
O's.
Me back to my Jersey roots right now. I've been in the Midwest. Been in the Midwest for a long time.
Uh-oh.
Halftime's over. We're getting wild. I guess we didn't drink our water at halftime. We drank something else, something spicy.
Yeah, a sugary beverage.
But we're back anyway. That's Joe Mays. I'm Danon Hughes, Players Only. Our friends at U.S. Bank got our back. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help. Turn it into your next pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Text line, phone line is still open, 913-576-7610. Yeah, we got some good ones from the 913. Hey, fellas, question. How many adjustments can you make in an NFL halftime? I think we already talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that one. Yeah.
You can make a bunch.
A ton. You have to be able to go out there and perform it, because if you don't, then that could be, you know, just, you know, how you can lose your job, for
and
sure.
And ultimately, coach has to recognize how far he can go with adjustments to the point where the player is not thinking.
Right.
Well, you gotta know the balance. You gotta know your personnel. Like we always say, you gotta know your personnel and what they can deal with and what they can handle, and still go out and play full speed.
Yeah, sometimes some younger guys, they can't pick it up as quickly, so they would limit the amount of adjustments that they make, so that he won't be out there thinking or, you know, overplaying something when you and lose out. So yeah, you gotta keep it real short.
Yeah. From the 913, I don't even know why I should give this even some love, because he's talking about guys across town, another station, always saying Marty couldn't draft a quarterback, goes to Bolts, drafted Breeze and Rivers. It's not that you can't, it's just that you decide based on your position in the draft that there were other needs that needed to be met.
Yep.
And given, like, I match Marty's resume up against any coach not named Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, and Tom Landry, and some of those other guys from the past, Parcells. Anybody else, you match his resume up, and it's unfortunate that we didn't get it done for him.
Yeah.
But one of the greatest coaches to ever be a part of the game.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, so we got a situation where Chris Jones has come in contact with someone with the COVID, and now is in jeopardy, likely not going to play this week against the Panthers. First and foremost, you hope the best and the health and prayers for him and whoever that person was and whoever's been around that person, because this pandemic or this disease has affected people differently.
Oh, absolutely.
Regardless of what you hear in regular media or media that want to downplay it, there have been people that have had serious effects at younger ages and older ages as well. And the one thing, I had a conversation, huge one, with someone in the past about this and not knowing what could happen to that person in the future. I mean, there's things that could happen to us during football, whether it's things with injuries, we get hit in the head or what have you, that we don't know until 50 years old or down the road where those things can affect us. So, yeah. There's things that are out there. So during this, you have empathy, and that's a situation, not just a football impact, but a personal impact that we need to be aware of and keep him up in our prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, whenever you're doing everything that you can to try to make sure that you're staying healthy, you're trying to make sure you stay out the way, you don't contract anything. Unfortunately, you know, you do have other people that go out and about, and they may catch it, and you just so happen to be in the vicinity, and unfortunately, you get it. So I think the main thing is people need to stop thinking that this is some type of myth or it's not like real.
Yeah, it's
because
real.
COVID is real. A lot of people has lost their lives, whether they were older or younger. With me and my wife having the wellness center that we have, we've been able
Leia
to help.
Center. The Leia Center. Shout out to Leia Center. Shout out.
We've been able to help 30 or so plus people come back from a positive COVID testing.
Nice.
And it's people here in Kansas City, people all across the world, all across the U.S. that we've been able to help.
And let's make a disclaimer that it's not, you're not promoting like you guys are a remedy for it. You are just helping people as they recover, you're helping them recover and continue to boost forward.
In a natural way instead of putting medications in your system. I'm not saying that we're better than anyone. I'm just, you know, speaking.
And you're not
of,
a vaccine or
I'm
anything
I'm not a
like
vaccine.
That,
yeah.
You're just helping people.
Just helping people. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, it's a real thing, man. And it's scaring a lot of families out there. And fortunately enough, when it comes to being an athlete, you're in such great shape. You're able to come back from it as quick as possible. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you're taking care of the people around you and they're keeping you, keeping you and your thoughts close to them as well. So, yeah, he's going to come back stronger than ever, ready to play. But for now, he just has to take care of himself, take care of his health, and come back.
Well, for all the listeners out there, if you're first tuning in to Players Only, or if you've been a person that's listened to Players Only for the last 3 years, you will know one thing. We are very undisciplined with time.
Very.
Very undisciplined. We get rolling, especially if Sean Barber is in the building. Julio, he's going to get us one of those shock collars, and he's just going to start pressing buttons over there.
Oh, yeah.
And shock us when it's time to move on. We were coachable as players. We're not coachable in the booth. But that's cool because we always get going on really cool topics. And it sounds like, or it looks like from the text line and calling line, that people appreciate it. But we got to go to a break. Coming upon fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, every show, we got to talk about the preview. The Chiefs got the Panthers coming up. Let's talk about it next.
Struggling.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. We're back. Players Only. Joe Mays, what dance is that you doing over there?
Oh, man. You know what?
That's something from Chicago?
I'm sitting in the chair. I'm just bouncing, man. I'm shaking my shoulders a little bit. I'm digging the music tonight.
We're going to get a video in here someday.
I think we should, just to see how silly we are and how, we're just in here having fun, man. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. If you listen to us in the past, you know that's the number one thing take away from our show is that we have a good time. Sean Barber is normally here. Got the 785. Where's Barbershop tonight? And could you guys sign my jerseys of all three of you if I mailed them to Intercom? Yes, we definitely would sign them. No problem at all. I can't vouch for Barbershop because he took the night off. But I know he's listening. That's why I said it.
I think Barbershop may want to check too.
But we also got the 913. They want to talk about Willie Gay. What you got?
Hey, you know what? I like Willie Gay. He's getting the experience that he needs in order for him to become the player that the Chiefs expected him to be when they drafted him. So, of course, you want to see a little bit more, and you're going to see a little bit more. He has a whole nother half a season ahead of him to get better. So that's what we're going to expect for him to do. But he's definitely emerging. You know what? Also, let me go back to the text line. We have a text message from 785, Mike Tomlin. Now, they talk about Mike Tomlin. He is one of the great coaches in the NFL today, and I believe that. I mean, if people haven't really been paying attention or don't know, he just won his 140th regular season game, passing Tony Dungy. Now, anybody who knows Tony Dungy, they know how amazing of a coach he is and how amazing of a man he is as well.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin just surpassed him for the most wins in regular season history. That lets you know how great of a coach he is. And of course, a lot of people say he's a great black coach. Yeah, he's a great black coach, but he's a great coach altogether.
Yep.
I think if you poll all the coaches in the NFL, he's going to be in the top three for sure.
And the tenure that he's had at one organization and the age that he took over from that organization. I mean, I think he was right around the same age as Lane Kiffin was when he came in.
Oh, yeah.
And what he's done has been absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, you're right. Mike Tomlin definitely deserves a lot of credit. One credit to be eclipsing Tony Dungy as the winningest black coach, but also, as his players referenced, as we're referencing, one of the great coaches to ever be in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going in the Hall of Fame. They both are. Dungy, well, Tungy, he's all
famous. Tony Dungy is.
Yeah, but he's gonna soon follow for sure.
Absolutely. Chiefs Panthers. We got it going on this week. Joe, what do you see in this matchup? Teddy Bridgewater, Run CMC coming into town. They got some talent.
Oh, they got some. They're playing pretty well for a team that was supposed to come in and not win too many games. They've competed, and I think that's what you want to see. As a first-year coach, bringing in a new system, bringing in a ton of guys that wasn't with the team previously. You want them to come together and play as a team and compete week in, week out, and that's what they've been doing. So it's going to be no different. I think they get McCaffrey back for this game.
Yep.
He's been hurt for the last few weeks, so look for him to get the ball a lot early and often. And, I mean, of course, he's about 50% of the offense whenever he's playing anyway, whether it's rushing or catching the ball. And then let's not sleep on Teddy Bridgewater. You know, this guy, a lot of people don't really give him the credit that he deserved. This guy can definitely go out there and sling the ball. And he knows how to control the team and manage the game. So, it's going to be a good game. I feel like, the Panthers are going to come in, they're going to compete, and they're going to give everything they got to the Chiefs, but still fall at the end of the game.
Yeah, the Chiefs are a better team, but Absolutely. The Panthers are much better than the Jets and probably comparable in many respects to a normal Raiders team.
Yep.
Raiders played their best game here several weeks ago. We played our not so best game, and they won by 8 points, one touchdown. So I kind of see the Panthers in that zone. They're 3-5 on the season. Numbers are okay. When you look at the matchups, they'll get a boost from having Christian McCaffrey come back. It was one of the best, if not the best, arguably, running backs or playmakers.
Utility
dual threat.
Weapon.
Yep, yeah. Dual threat running backs in the NFL and has been so since pretty much he burst on the scene.
Yep.
They got a young defense, Jeremy Chinn, that name. Not many people recognize that name. I've been able to call Missouri Valley football. You went to North Dakota State.
Yep.
He went to Southern Illinois. He's a Saluki.
Yep.
And I actually called probably one or two of his games for his whole career. A very, very good player. What I would call a Swiss Army knife, which if you listen to the broadcast, you'll probably hear me reference it. He is a guy that can make plays all over the field. So, yes, this will be a good game. It's great to be home for a second week. The Chiefs and the fans coming out with great weather. Looks like it might be the last bit of great weather we have here in the Chiefs Kingdom. But it's going to be a great weekend. And we appreciate everybody tuning in. Another week of Players Only. I think we got more listeners because Barbershop wasn't here.
Uh-oh. Barbershop,
I know you heard that out there.
I know you listening. I know
appreciate
you're listening to
Barbershop. Julio, Joe, we'll be back next week. Even after the bye, we'll talk about the bye, and we'll give some midseason grades next week as well. So definitely tune in. Players Only, we're out.
Peace.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.